Petitions of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. 12. The number 12 is important in today's gospel. Two seemingly unrelated people, a woman and a little girl, are in fact deeply connected. And it is parenthetical phrases in this gospel passage that help us to see this connection. A woman who has been ill for 12 years, and a little girl, 12 years of age. These two are also connected because each of them experiences the healing grace of Jesus. But there are also distinct differences between these two. One, the daughter of the leader of a synagogue, so highly placed in Jewish society. The other, one whose status is just above that of a slave. A woman without credentials. Many would make the case that the more dramatic moment in this story is when the little girl rises up at the command of Jesus. But I find myself more drawn to the woman who dared to touch the corner of the cloak. The little girl did not ask for healing. She did not need to. In addition to her father, there were many members of the synagogue who pleaded with Jesus to save her life. The woman had no advocate, at least not until she grasped the garment. Earlier this past week, as I was working on this homily, I took a break and went down to pick up the mail. And in the box, I found a few things, including the current issue of the New Yorker magazine. And on the cover of the magazine was an illustration of young children hiding in the skirt of the Statue of Liberty. And I thought, how perfect an image to arrive in my mailbox as I'm working on this passage from the Gospel of Mark. Because as Christians, we are all called to advocate for those on the margins, those seeking refuge. I greatly admire the audacity of this woman in Mark's Gospel, someone who we can assume has been told again and again that she has no access, no place, no privilege, no rights, who, finding herself among a throng pressing to be near the one about whom they have heard so much, seizes the moment after 12 years of agony and pain to be healed. Don't you want to just stand up and cheer? But we are well-mannered Episcopalians, so we won't be standing up and cheering. And I actually like that about us. Manners are in short supply. Nevertheless, on the inside, just know I am cheering. In fact, I find myself loving this woman for her bravery and her faith. Perhaps she had heard just enough to know that if ever she would be healed, today is the day. Do you always seize the day? I know I don't. In fact, I think I probably squander more hours than I'd like to acknowledge. But we cannot afford to do that. Not only here at St. Edmund's. During this period of transition, we need to be sure that not only do we survive, but that we thrive. And in the wider world, too, there is simply too much need to go unnoticed, too many injustices to ignore. But let's return to the healing grace of Jesus, because that is a place to which we should daily return. I'm only getting to know many of you in this community, but already I've heard stories of the healing you have experienced or the healing you have witnessed. So I want to share with you a story of mine. Among the many things someone like me preparing for ordination is asked to do is one unit, 400 hours of clinical pastoral education in a chaplaincy setting. For many in this diocese, we do that at the Hospital of the Good Samaritan in downtown Los Angeles. I'll be honest with you, this was not an experience I was looking forward to, but rather one I thought I would simply endure. To my amazement and surprise, I found myself from the very beginning embracing the opportunities of sharing deeply intimate moments with strangers who then were not. You might think that there are guidelines and words of wisdom that prepare us for venturing out into the wards of Good Sam. Nope. You get your credentials, you put on your jacket that says chaplain, and off you go. You walk through an open door, having no idea what you will encounter on the other side. What is the medical condition, the family dynamics, the relationship of any to a faith community? All of this is unknown. Whatever the answers to these questions might be, my experience was that most, but not all, patients and families were happy to see a chaplain. At Good Sam last winter, over several weeks during February and March, I had the privilege of witnessing the miraculous recovery of a young man who, when I first visited him, was clearly physically beaten. There was not an inch of his flesh that I could see that had gone unpunished. A man clearly suffering not only physically, but also spiritually, as I listened to the only sound he could make, wailing. A man so traumatized, he had lost his ability to speak. After that initial visit, during which all I felt was helpless, I finally exited his room, knowing I would never return. However, the Holy Spirit had other plans. The next time I was at the hospital, this young man was the first person I went to see. And over time, I visited him every day I was at the hospital. I witnessed the indomitable human spirit slowly but undeniably rise, just like the daughter of Jairus. As the wailing subsided, he began to use a letter board to spell out messages to me, arranging a set of letters, a word, being able to use a pen on a small white board that I brought to his room, and finally he began to utter audible words. This man who taught me so much, including how to communicate absent of words, and I'm a guy who loves language, was discharged from the hospital within 3 months of having arrived. Nothing short of a miracle, which the medical staff confirmed. I was there that afternoon when he was dismissed and had yet one more privilege. I met, surely one of the reasons this man's spirit would not be broken, his 7-year-old son, Jesus. So yes, I believe in miraculous healing. I witnessed it. So I say to you, to me, to us, when you feel or see someone else experiencing anxiety, confusion, grief, loneliness, loss, pain, sadness, suffering, have the audacity to cling that cloak, to grab that garment. Jesus knew when the woman touched his clothes, because something went from him to her. And we all know that the healing grace of Jesus is a well that will never run dry. We too can be filled with the healing grace and life-giving love of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
That is, believe in one Lord Jesus.